Tvach. Tonight is the anniversary of the passing of the Arizal. The Arizal HaChai.
The truth is like mine.
Although every tzaddik, every Jew, even after they pass away, their soul is still alive. But only regarding the Arizal do we have this title. We call the Arizal who is alive. In general, tzaddikim, whose main focus was the inner dimension of Torah, are more associated with eternity. Just like when God created the world and he gave Adam and Eve the commandment not to eat from the tree of knowledge and they should eat from the tree of life, so too the Tzemach Tzedek said at the end of the exile, before the coming of Mashiach, Hashem commands us again to eat from the tree of life. And the tree of life means the teachings of Chassid, teachings of the inner dimension of Torah. And it says that when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge, before they ate from the tree of knowledge, there was a mixture, there was good and evil, but there was no mixture of good and evil. They were separate. And because they ate from the tree, they caused a mixture of good and evil. And that's why death happened. Death happened because Hashem didn't want the evil to continue. And since a man has in him both good and evil, Chas v'Shalom, so therefore there was decreed upon mankind death in order that the evil should not continue. However, when Mashiach will come, and Hashem will remove all impurity from the world, so there won't be any more death anymore. Because the whole reason that why there's death is so that evil should not continue. Once evil stops to exist, so then there could be eternal life. So, in a similar way, the inner dimension of Torah is called the tree of life. It's above any trace of evil, any trace of anything that can't even lead a person to, as opposed to the real parts of Torah, which a person could learn the real parts of Torah and it could lead to self-aggrandizement, it could lead to arrogance. The inner dimension of Torah is called the tree of life also because it's above any trace of negativity. On the contrary, it brings a person to be more connected with their soul, more connected with Hashem, and in a more obvious and dramatic way. And therefore, it's called the tree of life. The Arizal himself said about his teacher, the Ramak, or Mishkar Dabari, the great Kabbalist, he said about him, when he passed away, that when a person passes away, Vesalisa Esal Eitz, Torah talks about someone who is hung and they can't leave them overnight because you're not allowed to, persons created in the image of God. So when the Torah talks about this, it says a person who passes away and is hung on a tree. So the Arizal says that if a person passes away and there's no mistakes whatsoever, there's no mistakes. So you want to know how they passed away, the only thing you could say about that person is the eitz, the tree of knowledge. It's not because of his own mistakes. It's rather because of the sin of the tree of knowledge, because Adam and Eve ate from the tree, to cause a mixture of good and evil, and that's why that's why this person died, not because he has any issue in himself, but rather because of the sin of the tree of knowledge. But at the end of the exile, said the Tzemach Tzedek, now is the time we're supposed to eat from the tree of knowledge, tree of life, from the teachings of Chassidus, and thus to merit to eternal life with the coming of Mashiach, when there won't be any death at all. Although it says in some places that there'll be death and and after everyone passes away, then everyone's going to go to heaven and there's going to be, won't be eternal. That's when Maimonides writes this. But in general, according in Kabbalah, the general rule is that when there's an argument between the Kabbalists and those who interpret the revealed parts of Torah, so it depends what the subject matter is. If the subject matter is revealed parts of Torah, then the halacha follows those who are according to the position of those who focus on the real parts of Torah. So then the revealed parts of Torah, those who are experts in this, they are the ones who to adjudicate and determine the answer. However, in regards to Kabbalistic matters, for these things you have to go to the Kabbalists. So the coming of Mashiach is in that realm, and therefore the halacha follows Nachmanides, who says that Mashiach will come, there'll be eternal life forever. Rebbe actually once said that Maimonides himself also studies his own book in heaven. And Maimonides sometimes doesn't understand his own book. And therefore he goes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he asks Moses to explain to him what he wrote. And sometimes Moshe himself doesn't know the explanation of this either. And so Moshe and the Rambam together go to Hashem himself, they go to God and ask God to explain to them the meaning of what is written in the Rambam. So Maimonides did say on the surface that people will pass away after Mashiach will come, and then the ultimate reward is in Gan Eden, in heaven. However, that's what it looks like only externally. However, the Rebbe once explained that the deeper meaning of the Rambam himself, of the Rambam's own words, is that there will be eternal life even after Mashiach comes in this physical world. The life will go on forever in this physical world, souls and bodies forever. And so therefore our generation will merit to have eternal life, uninterrupted eternal life. And although it says that the tzaddikim, before they are resurrected, they have to go back to earth to experience refinement before they can merit eternal life. However, the Rebbe said that doesn't mean literally passing away. That could also be achieved by the experience of humility. We say in our prayers, let my soul be like dust before all. So tzaddikim also, they could experience this idea of humility, and therefore and thereby not need to have any actual death. Getting back to the Harizal HaChai. So Harizal HaChai is Ratzon HaTanit, whose name indicates eternal life, because again, he's connected to the inner dimension of Torah, so therefore the inner dimension of Torah is beyond any death. So he's known for three things. He's known, his name Ari means lion. He was given that name because of the exertion that he had in the study of Torah. He would toil in the study of Torah, so much so that he would sweat when he would study Torah. Arizal actually said that when you study Torah and you do any mitzvah with sweat, the sweat you have in doing a mitzvah causes an atonement, it cleanses you. The sweat you have, the exertion you have in doing a mitzvah cleanses you from negative things. So the Arizal was known for toiling like a lion in the study of Torah. I think Rabbi Chaim Vital said that in every topic in the Talmud, I think he had seven different interpretations, six according to the revealed parts of Torah, one Kabbalistic. An extraordinary amount of insight in Torah, which came through his great effort. Another thing that Rizal is known for is his joy in doing mitzvahs. It says the Rizal merited to have revelation of godliness and divine inspiration because of his sheer joy in doing mitzvahs. Because of his happiness in doing mitzvahs, therefore he merited to have divine inspiration. Parenthetically, the previous Rebbe said that the Baal Shem Tov also merited to have divine inspiration, but wasn't because of his joy in doing mitzvahs, rather it was because of his joy in loving Jews. In Simchas Avos Yisrael, the joy he had in other Jews, that's what gave the Baal Shem Tov divine inspiration. The third thing that Arizal is known for is his generosity. When Arizal would have to buy an esrog, for example, he would immediately give whatever the cost of the esrog was, and there was never a discussion of the price. And someone asked Arizal for charity, the Arizal had a drawer, he would just take whatever he took from the drawer. He wouldn't look at what he was taking from the drawer, just take whatever it was and give the person in need whatever it was. He was extremely generous. So these are the three things within Arizal: generosity, to exert ourselves in mitzvos, and joy, generosity, and to toil in Torah. So I want to share with you a story tonight about another great Kabbalist, another tzaddik from Komarna, who his family, long line of tzaddikim, their progeny today is all over the world, the Sofrin family. And Rav Moshe Ornstein, he shared the following story that he heard from one of the grandchildren of the Komarna Rebbe, whose name was Yisachar Dev Sofrin. Yisachar Dev Sofrin shared the following thing. Yisachar Dev Sofrin used to collect tzedakah. One more parenthetical comment. There was, I don't remember who it was, but someone from in the Chabad dynasty, there was one of the Rebbetzins who was very concerned about the fact that one of her children had arms that were too long, and they weren't normal. Wasn't normal. The arms were irregular size, and she asked, and she davened that she should know what was her problem. Why did her why did this happen to her? Why did her progeny, why did her child have to have this issue? And the answer that was given to her, I think it was from the Alter Rebbe, came to her dream and told her the following. He said that because there was someone who was collecting charity, and she didn't honor that person, she didn't give the appropriate respect, that's the reason why this happened. Anyways, so this Yisachar Da'if, he wasn't, he was someone who was collecting a lot of charity in this shul in Bnei Brak called Beis Hillel. And one day they had this, they were saying L'chaim for a yard site, and he sat down and he shared the following story about his family. Unbelievable. And Rabbi Shorenstein, he heard the story from him, he heard the story from his own father who was present, so it's a direct story. So it's like this. This Yisachar Da'if, his father was named Reb Chaim Yaakov. He was a fifth generation of Kumarna. He was born in Borislav to his father, whose name was Eliezer Tzvi Sofrin. Eliezer Tzvi Sofrin was the fourth generation of Kumarna, and he was very close with the Polish ambassador who lived in their city in Hungary. So, in the year Tafesh Adiches, in the year 1938, the ambassador shared with Rabbi Chaim Yaakov, the Kumarna Rebbe, he shared with him what he knows, that soon there's going to be a war, and he advises the Kumarna Rebbe to move to Prague. And he gave a letter to Kumarna Rebbe to show to the Polish ambassador in Prague, in order to that the ambassador should assist the family to move to Prague. So all of the family eventually reached America, and that's how the family was saved. And the unfortunately, the information was correct, and the Holocaust happened, and together with all the Jews who passed in the Holocaust were also all of the many Chassidim of Kumarna, many of the Rebbes of Kumarna, all passed away, and the remaining Chassidim, they accepted this Reb Chaim Yaakov to be their Rebbe. Speaking of Chaim Yaakov, I just want to interject for a second. Again, a second. So Reb Chaim Yaakov had a lot of respect for the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. He saw himself, this Reb Chaim Yaakov saw himself as a chassid, the Munkatcher Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar. And he would travel a lot to visit the Munkatcher Rebbe. He considered himself a student Munkatcher Rebbe. And it wasn't so far away from where they lived in Hungary. Hungary and Munkatch weren't so far away, so therefore he would travel there often. So their previous Rebbe, the Munkatch Rebbe, were very close. If I remember correctly, everyone said about himself that he is a chassid of the Munkatch Rebbe as well. So the Munkatch Rebbe and the previous Rebbe were very close. So therefore, when he came to America, and he knew the previous Rebbe was in America as well, he really wanted to see the previous Rebbe. So he decided he's going to go, next time it was going to be a February, next time there's going to be a chassidic gathering, he's going to go to 7-7. So he came to the previous Rebbe. It was either 1941 or 42, and there was a Verbringen. It was the 19th of Kislev, and it wasn't such a public Verbringen. It was on the second floor of 770, and I know the whole system that worked in those days, but for whatever reason, the front door of 770 was locked. Probably Verbringen went into late, and so the front door was locked. So he's knocking on the door. As he's knocking on the door, he's thinking to himself the following. He's thinking about his grandfather. His grandfather was Reb Yitzchak Isaac of Sofrin, who was known as a miracle worker. And he wrote a lot of books about Kabbalah. And these books are also quoted by the Rebbe's father and other Rebbes of Chabad, quote his books on Kabbalah. He's called the Yisoid Bracha. So he was a miracle worker. He was a great Kabbalist. And he's thinking to himself, I'm the grandson of this great Kabbalist, and I can't even get in the front door. That's what he's thinking. I'm a grandson of this great Kabbalist who is a miracle worker, and I'm stuck behind this locked door. Like, Those were his thoughts. All of a sudden, the door opens up, and one of the gaboyim, one of the people working the home of the previous Rebbe, opens the door, and he said, "The Rebbe asked me to open the door to invite you inside." He comes inside. He comes to the previous Rebbe's table. The previous Rebbe invites him to sit down. And when he sat down, as soon as he sat down, the previous Rebbe, the clear blue sky, says to him, "Is it true? Ihr seid Take dem Kumarne Zeinikel? Is it true that you are the grandson of the Kumarne Rebbe?" That's what the previous Rebbe said. Of course, Rabbi Chaim Yaakov was totally blown away by the open divine inspiration the previous Rebbe exhibited. And he couldn't really answer, just shook his head, yeah. So the previous Rebbe said an interesting anecdote. He said, when your grandfather came out with a book, Heichal Bracha, which on the book of Bamidbar, so the Hasidim of the Tzemach Tzedek bought this book as a gift for the Tzemach Tzedek. And when Tzemach Tzedek finished the book, he immediately read through the whole book when he got it. He read it as a Rebbe reads. I don't know how a Rebbe reads, but he finished the whole book. And when he concluded the book, he said, "I didn't know that in our generation there is another person who is so expert, such an expert in the wisdom of Kabbalah. I didn't know that there is someone in our generation who is such an expert in Kabbalah." That's what the Tzemach Tzedek said. So the previous Rebbe then said, this book never left the Tzemach Tzedek's table. He kept this book. My grandfather told the previous Rebbe, said to this grandson of the Kumarne Rebbe, he said, my grandfather never left, took off from his table your grandfather's book. So the point is not the divine inspiration. That's not everyone has that gift. The point is that we should learn from the Arizal to have joy in a mitzvah, and joy in a mitzvah directs us to the right place. There was a Jew. He wrote to the Rebbe once in a letter, "I want to do all the right things and always be happy doing them. I want to do everything I'm supposed to be doing and always be happy." And the Rebbe rearranged the letter to read the following: "If you always be happy, im yeh b'simcha b'tmidus, if you always be happy, azay kai mitzraneisa b'reisa, then you always do the right thing." So, Eivish HaPasol, we should have simcha from mitzvahs, and as a Baal Shem Tov, simcha from other Jews, and we should go immediately to Yerushalayim. One more story about the Arizal before I let you guys go on that note. This is a story the Rebbe shared about the Arizal. It was in Parsha Shmini, 1958. The Rebbe shared the following story. The Arizal was talking to his students. It was Friday morning, and he was telling them that we should go to, you want to go to Yerushalayim? Do you want to go to Yerushalayim? The Arizal asking this question, it didn't seem like it was possible for them to get together and be in Yerushalayim. There wasn't enough time in the day. So obviously he meant, you know, to go to Yerushalayim with a miracle, with Kvitas HaDerech. And so the students said, "We have to ask our wives first." And so the Arizal said that if they would have answered yes immediately, the Mashiach would have come. As the Arizal said, the Rebbe shared the story. So then they never commented on the story. Although the students of the Arizal were correct in saying this, and how Jewish law says that was the right thing to do, it's not that they were incorrect in saying we have to ask our wives. That's the right thing to do. The issue was, they didn't have the right trust for the Arizal. They should have had more faith in the Arizal and know that the Arizal knows what it says in the code of Jewish law. And if he's suggesting to them to go to Yerushalayim, it must be it's okay. So it wasn't that they had a problem in their minds. It's a problem in their souls. They didn't have the faith in their Arizal to know that if he's suggesting something, it's to go with him. And the Rebbe, the Rebbe concluded this story by saying, but if they had a proper connection to their tzaddik, the redemption would have come a long time ago. Because they're missing the proper attachment to the tzaddik, to their teacher, that's what delayed the gula. So it was missing, Rebbe said, the kulanu ke'echad, the missing, we say in our prayers, bless us, our Father, all is one, because they weren't together with their tzaddik, with Arizal, therefore is missing the blessing. That's why the redemption, Achman al-Aslan, was delayed. But the bottom line is, we have to have absolute faith in the words of our Rebbe, the coming of Mashiach, absolute faith in other Jews, seeing the good in other Jews, absolute faith in the goodness of other people, and absolute faith in goodness in ourselves, and to open our hearts with Avos Yisrael, the joy of Avos Yisrael, the joy of Mitzvahs, and Simcha breaks the boundaries of the walls of exile as well, and with, we should add in Simcha, and we should merit to see Kamei Mashiach tonight. A good davach and a frelich davach. Any...